Welcome to this week's edition of The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The first state map is dotted with small towns with tiny populations and budgets, but fairly long histories. They range from Belfont, where 1,193 residents, myself included, just celebrated the town's 100th anniversary, to Hartley, population 74, that is trying to reorganize after its town government nearly fell apart recently. In all, there are 29 towns and villages in Delaware with populations under 1,200 people, and we asked contributor Larry Nagengast to look into how they operate and why. His piece on small town Delaware is available now at DelawarePublic.org, and he sat down with me this week to discuss what he found during his survey of these mini municipalities.
Based on their size, I mean, what are they actually able to provide as a government for their residents?
Well, in most cases, not very much. You take a town like Bethel, whose population is, it's 171. The big item on their budget is streetlights. And they also plow the roads when it snows. That's about it. The town of Bethel has a budget in the neighborhood of $30,000 for the year.
And there are some that are a little bit more robust, though, in terms of their budget and size and what they can do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And some of the more robust communities might have a budget in the neighborhood of, I'm trying to recall, I think Newport has a budget in the neighborhood of $1.5 million. And I think Bridgeville is in the same vicinity. Both of those towns, about half of their budget, maybe a little bit more, goes for the town police force. And then the rest of it is for office staff, which is usually just a couple of people at most. And then you get into street lights and basic road maintenance, that sort of thing.
Some of them do rely on the county that they are located in for some of the other services, correct?
Yes, absolutely, they do. Certainly we're familiar in Newcastle County anyway with the smaller towns. Whether it's Belfont or whether it's the Ardens, if they don't have a police force, they rely on Newcastle County for their policing services. They'll also for things like building code violations. That's the property code. There's a lot of things that the town doesn't do that essentially gets deferred to the county government.
Given that, why not just be absorbed by the county? Why remain separate?
Really, what it comes down to is the issue of self-determination. People like to be able to make their own decisions for themselves. Glenn Govrey, the mayor in Little Creek, said, well, gee, if we were unincorporated, the folks in Kent County government might just as well decide to roll us into Dover. What does that do for a town that's got 225 people? The sense of self-determination is strong, wanting to maintain the heritage, the sense of community that has been developed over the years. Lipsick and Little Creek, for instance, are towns that have a bit of a maritime history, and they want to keep and preserve that. Belfont, which celebrated its 100th anniversary this year, has that small town feel. It's really one street that has a little bit of commercial on it, and a lot of resale shops and a couple of restaurants but there's a special feel that these small communities have, and when you have control of your own destiny, you're able to plan what your town is going to be like. That's really important to the residents.
You mentioned Hartley and the issues that they've had. Is that the biggest challenge for these towns, is actually just kind of maintaining the structure of government over the course of year after year after year?
I wouldn't say that it's the biggest challenge, but it's certainly a significant issue in many cases. In Hartley's case, approximately 3 years ago, a majority of the town council just stopped showing up and resigned their positions, and then there was no town council, nobody to send out the bills, nobody to collect the taxes, nobody to apply to the state for grants, and so on. And now they've just reorganized, and five people filed for the town council, and they've told the state board of election that they now have a council, and they're moving forward on reorganizing. And it's similar situations in many other towns, not Not so much that they don't have a government, but even, you know, Bellefonte's a pretty stable community, and yet it hasn't been unusual for them to be short one member of the five-member council. Either nobody wants to run, or during the course of the year, somebody has a job change, a transfer, something else comes up, and they have to resign and find somebody else. So, you know, finding the five members is an issue. In some cases, the folks who are there are doing a good job. They like the work, and they kind of stay in there year after year after year. And then you get the issue of, well, you know, are we ever going to get any sort of change in the community as well? Because it's good to bring some new voices in from time to time, too.
And you mentioned the idea of change. I mean, these towns are planning ahead. I mean, there is a requirement for them to do these kind of plans for the future, correct?
Absolutely. About 15 years ago, there was a state law that was passed that required all municipalities to come up with a comprehensive plan. And now the rule is that every 10 years, the plan has to be updated. And every 5 years, there has to be a review made. So, you know, in case there's a need to make any changes in between. The folks that I talked to, and several of the towns point out that having this plan is very important. It's a way of enabling you to preserve your heritage. It's a way to be able to decide where you want to go in the future. If you don't have a plan, and you don't have a framework for your growth, how you want the town to change, somebody can come in with a proposal for land use in a particular part of your community, They may very easily be able to get a rezoning or, you know, authorization to build something that the folks in the community don't like, because there wasn't a framework laid out that spells out, here are the goals, here are the objectives, here's what we want our town to look like in the future.
Given all this, I mean, they do seem, most of these towns, to operate fairly well. Correct?
I would say yes. They operate fairly well with the limited amount of resources that they have. I mean, you know, in the planning process, for instance, small towns don't have planners, but they do call on the Office of State Planning Coordination, and that office's roles is to send out people from the Department of Transportation, from Natural Resources, from Historical Preservation, to meet with the members of the town, of the community, to discuss, you know, particular aspects of the plan. Many of the towns that have larger budgets will have a town clerk or a town manager who tends to be a jack of all trades, doing everything from meeting with state agencies to opening the mail, and, you know, and literally everything ranging from mosquito control, whatever else has to be done, the garbage collection contracts. You know, it very often devolves on to one or two people to take care of that, and they do seem to manage pretty well. Some of the folks say that if nobody shows up at the town council meeting, that probably means that we're doing all right. They're not, there's no big issue in town. And a lot of the towns, there are other places that, even if there's not much activity at the town council meetings, there are things like the fire halls, the church groups, and so on, where members of the community stay active, and that, you know, they've got a way of hanging together.
Having said all that, do you think these towns have a long-term future?
I'm going to say yes. Yes, I do. The examples of towns like Hartley are exceptionally rare. I do kind of wonder. I think we all have to wonder, you know, if you've got 75 people in a town, you know, whether it's worth the, you know, the cost and the expense of, you know, maintaining that separate government. Gee, you know, if 75 people in Hartley and a 5-member commission, gee, that, you know, that's like 6% of the town or whatever is, you know, right there directly involved in town government. It's a challenge, you know, for some of them, but I've got a feeling that pretty much all of them are going to endure in some fashion.
Our thanks to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time. His piece on small town Delaware is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. Next up on The Green, as the Hubble Space Telescope celebrates its 25th anniversary, we talk to a UD researcher using it to study dying stars or white dwarfs. This is Delaware Public Media.